In June of 2000, during our visit to the Holy Land, Pam and I had the opportunity during that trip to visit the city of Jericho. For many centuries, Jericho was, which is situated in a desert not far from the Dead Sea, and at an oasis of springs with palm trees, served as a resort of sorts. In fact, Herod the Great, who built the great Second Temple, built a hippodrome at Jericho that served as a place for chariot races and theatrical entertainment. This desert resort town that sits nearly 900 feet below sea level was not unlike our modern-day Las Vegas, the place in the desert where residents and travelers alike could indulge themselves in worldly pleasures. And like Las Vegas, Jericho, and all of its worldliness, was ripe for corruption and a reputation for something that was less than virtuous. And from a biblical perspective, Jericho stood in contrast to Jerusalem, not only in terms of its geography, Jericho being nearly 1,000 feet below sea level, and Jerusalem just a short distance away, over 2,500 feet above sea level. Not only, there was a contrast here where Jericho represents the world with its paganism and pursuit of pleasure, its corruption and greed. And yet this is a setting for our gospel lesson this morning from St. Luke chapter 18, as Jesus sets out for Jerusalem ahead of his passion and death and resurrection. But we also know from the Old Testament and from our Sunday school classes, if we grew up in the church, how Jericho was also the gateway into the Promised Land. And if you remember the account, Moses, after leading the Israelites out of Egypt for 40 years wandering in the wilderness, the next generation had passed, and leadership had passed from Moses to now Joshua, who would lead the people across the Jordan and into the Promised Land. And we know that through that acquisition of the Promised Land, that the Battle of Jericho was the first battle. The first battle in crossing into Jordan. Jericho, in essence, became a portal into the Promised Land. And we know, we remember the story how they, under the instructions of God, were able to march around that walled city. And that after going around the city seven times and the priest blowing the trumpets, that the walls of the city fell down, that they were able to take conquest of that city as God had promised. But it is once again through Jericho that serves as this setting for today's gospel. Jesus, whose name is the same as Joshua, Yeshua in Hebrew, is seen very clearly here, seen as the new Joshua, as leading his followers across the Jordan, those chosen of God, through Jericho, but not to reside in Jericho, through Jericho toward Jerusalem, where God's promises would be fulfilled. Like Joshua, Jericho was not the destination, but was the portal, the place through which Jesus, as the new Joshua, would have to pass, doing battle not against the people, but against the powers of darkness that held the people in blindness, that corrupted humanity, where death abided in order to lead them into that place of promise, to the new promised land. And in this account of Jesus and his disciples passing through Jericho, St. Luke presents us with a contrast between those who who were followers of Christ and yet possessed a certain spiritual blindness, and a blind man sitting in the dust of the road with a spiritual sight and perception that only faith could bring. And we begin that gospel lesson. St. Luke begins in verse 31 of Luke 18. Then he took the 12 aside and said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem." We're going up to Jerusalem. You see that this was an indication of what their goal was. Jericho wasn't their goal. It was a city through which they had to pass. They were going up to Jerusalem. And all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man, Jesus says, will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him. And the third day he will rise again. Jesus very explicitly, not in terms of parable or other metaphorical language, is making a prophetic statement about his immediate future. He's very clear and explicit about what will happen. But verse 34 says, "But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken." So as they were entering Jericho, as they were passing through Jericho, Jesus making this prophecy about himself, Jesus revealing to them his mission, the reality of what he had come to do. He spoke very plainly, and yet they didn't understand. They didn't get it. There was still a spiritual blindness of the heart, even as they were followers of the Lord for 3 years. For 3 years, they didn't get it. But this is contrasted to what happens next. And it says, "Then it happened as he was coming near Jericho that a certain blind man sat by the road begging." And we know from the other synoptic gospels, Matthew and Mark, that this blind man's name was Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. And that it wasn't just one man, but it was actually two. But St. Luke is focused upon just Bartimaeus, who's sitting by the road begging for alms. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, and he cried out saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now it's interesting that the word for mercy in the Greek has the same root word as alms. And so one could read this saying that he was crying out, "Have mercy on me," that is, "give me alms." But this man, Bartimaeus, had a far deeper need. And as he was crying out, those in the crowd began to warn him and rebuke him. "Be quiet, shut up. Shut up. Stop crying out." But he cried out all the more, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still, verse 40, and commanded him to be brought to him. And the synoptic gospels tell us that as those that went to him told Bartimaeus that the Lord asked for you, and that he took off his cloak and left it there on the ground, and he went to Jesus. And coming to Jesus, Jesus asked him, saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus probing the man's need, of course, knowing his need before he even was able to respond. Bartimaeus said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. So here was blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus sitting by the road in the dust, begging for alms. When the Lord comes by through Jericho, and as he's coming through Jericho, there's this encounter, this holy encounter that happens. Blind Bartimaeus with spiritual sight of faith, is able to discern that this is his opportunity for healing, for wholeness. And so he begins to cry out with a cry of a heart, "Jesus, Jesus, the new Joshua, have mercy on me." And he receives his physical sight. We have come to the end of the pre-Lenten season with this Quinquagesima Sunday. As we embark upon the journey of Great Lent this week. And this is, I think, an appropriate time liturgically for us to examine this journey of Jesus and his disciples through Jericho. For as we have come upon this season of Lent, I want us to see that we are being brought liturgically to that place of Jericho, that place where we have abided in the world with all of its allurements and worldly pleasures and passions that keep us in blindness. And as we prepare our hearts for this season of Great Lent, I want us to see how perhaps in some ways we have become or have been like the disciples. We have followed Christ. We have been in the church. We have been passing through this world. And yet there's a certain spiritual dullness and blindness upon our part through our biblical illiteracy. We are blind. Through our neglect of the sacraments, we are blind. Through our neglect of ministry and reaching out to a lost and dying world, we have blinded ourselves to the truth of where Christ has called us. There's a blindness, and yet we follow. But as we approach Great Lent, as we have opportunity for self-examination, I want us to see that especially as we celebrate Ash Wednesday this week, this Wednesday, that we, like Bartimaeus, are sitting in the dust of the earth, the stuff from which we are made, a symbol of our own mortality, a symbol of the temporality of this life, of Jericho. And as we sit in the dust, as we conduct that honest self-examination about our need, as we are confronted by the Lord passing through in this liturgical season, with God's grace, we are brought to that place of blind Bartimaeus and seeing and recognizing our own blindness and seeing and recognizing our own need. And we, like the psalmist of who wrote Psalm 130, out of the depths I've cried to thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my prayer. We cry with blind Bartimaeus, Lord, in my sin. Lord, in my denial of you. Lord, in my repeated failures to obey your commandments. Lord, in my negligences of faith. Lord, in my hardness of heart to my neighbor and to those in need. Lord Jesus, the new Joshua, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. And as we continue in this journey of Lent, through Jericho, through the world, we begin to recognize that while God has planted us here on the earth, it is not our citizenship. It is not where we have been ultimately called. For Jesus is directing us with him to Jerusalem. And yet the world all around has failed to acknowledge, to recognize the presence of our Lord here in Jericho, in the world, through the church, through the proclamation of the gospel. We recite in the prologue of John chapter 1, verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. You see, there will always be a spiritual blindness to the world And as we pass through this world, through Jericho, through the corruption, through the brokenness of life, we find ourselves as blind Bartimaeus. But we do so as a church. As a church. For really, liturgically, throughout the week, it is a journey through Jericho. When we leave the church on Sunday, we're passing through Jericho, are we not? We're passing through the world. A world which, if you look at the elections this year, we can only discern as a world that is in deep trouble. A world that is polarized and broken. A world that does not know the values and virtues of God and of the gospel. We're passing through Jericho, where entertainment is king, where the pleasures of this life reign supreme. And through our journey, through the week, through Jericho, we have the opportunity to be Christ to those all around us who sit in darkness, who have failed to encounter the living God. And as we pass through Jericho, we realize that in many ways we have blown it through the week. And so we come. We have been called to go up to Jerusalem. And as we enter the doors of the church on Sunday, we are led with the priest up to the mount, up to the place of sacrifice, to the new Jerusalem, where God dwells in his holy of holies. And we encounter the Lord Jesus in the preaching, in our prayers, in our liturgical hymns. We encounter the Lord through the cup, through the chalice, through his broken body, through his shed blood. In blindness, those saying, that's just bread and wine. But with the eyes of faith and having our sight restored, we see Jesus and we are brought to that place of Jerusalem, that place of wholeness. But not before we have passed through Jericho, through this life. We have been called to be followers of Christ. We have been called to follow not only Bartimaeus, but also Zacchaeus. If you remember, whom the Lord encountered, Zacchaeus, the corrupt tax collector, who climbed in a sycamore tree to be able to see the Lord. But it is through their reaching out, their crying out, that we can see the world all around us, blind to the truth of the gospel, and yet a world perhaps not even knowing, crying out, seeking answer, seeking truth. Through Jericho, through that place of corruption and blindness, our Lord demonstrated not only the willingness to heal and to restore, but to call those sitting in darkness to follow him. Jericho was not the place of our Lord, but he passed through. He passed through in order to redeem the people of Jericho. John 3:17, Jesus says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Our Lord, his church, you and I, are passing through Jericho, not to condemn, not to destroy, but that the world, the blind, through him might be saved. Through Jericho, we find the portal to paradise, to that new land of promise. But the journey is steep and rugged from Jericho to Jerusalem. And at that place of promise, we are joined to Christ in his suffering and through our baptism in his burial. But in it, we are also joined to the glory and light of the resurrection, to a new life hidden in him. We are passing through Jericho, but to a world to which Christ has called us, a world that is everlasting, the new Jerusalem. Let us, as we embark upon this journey of great Lent, not let the sin and blindness of our lives define us, bled our citizenship in heaven to the New Jerusalem. Our goal, be what defines us as the Christ ones, as Christians, to his honor, to his glory, for the redemption of Jericho, the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.